And again, Father, as we come to you with hands lifted, heart set towards you, looking to you as our hope and strength in life, calling on the name above all names, Jesus. For there's only one way. It's your way. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, your mercies, your grace, repenting for the things we've done that have offended you. Repenting for unfulfilled vows, works of the flesh, and selfish ambitions. Repenting for those we've come in agreement with the voice of the enemy. And we ask that you'll wash us with the blood of the Lamb, heal us with the stripes of Jesus, and fill us with your Holy Spirit, removing the scales from our eyes that we may see, the deafness from our ears that we may hear, and the hardening of our hearts that we may receive. Welcoming you, Holy Spirit. Come. Let the anointing break every yoke of bondage, loosing us from the bonds of entanglements and affairs of this world, mindsets and strongholds, emotional attachments with people, places, and things, that we may walk free in your Spirit. Obey, live, and be led by the Spirit of the living God, that whatever we do will bring glory and honor to the name above all names, Jesus. And everybody said amen. Psalm 9. How many of y'all know we're living in the last days? You know, I was watching Elizabeth Graham. Everybody ever heard of Billy Graham? Okay, well, his daughter was on last night on Huckabee. And it was very powerful because, you know, so many times people think you're crazy because you're telling them that Jesus is coming. And they're like, oh, man, you know, what do you know? Well, you know, according to the scriptures, and if you go to Matthew 24, according to those scriptures right there, the prophetic scriptures have been met to where that generation will not pass until the Lord comes. And we are that generation. So regardless of what, nobody knows the day or time, but we are the generation of the Lord's return. And she was speaking about this last night, and I was so blessed to hear about it because so many people do not realize that we are the generation of the Lord's return, and the things that are happening prophetically in Israel and all over the world. Do you know that they just had a meeting in Israel, and Glenn Beck was involved with it, and there were Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And these individuals were all associated with acknowledging that Jerusalem is a place of the return of the Messiah. Unfortunately, the Muslims believe that they've got a Mahdi, but everybody's going to find out when the Lord returns who the right one is. Amen. And in this, what they were speaking about is because the UN, United Nations, is getting ready to vote on a Palestinian state, which will come against Israel. And that's supposed to happen around the 26th or 27th of this month. And if that actually happens, in fact, Palestine is going to force their way into the UN and command a seat and command that they have a state. If that passes, it will give a free license to kill Jews. See, people don't realize that. And what's happening right now, because the Bible says that all the world will come against Israel, except for a few nations. This is all part of prophecy getting ready to be fulfilled. Last night they were talking about the economic, and they said that right now, the way we are going right now, that the economy can only last until July of 2012. Hello. because our debt is so, we are spending $1 trillion more than what we're bringing in. That's pretty amazing, huh? This country is spending $1 trillion more than what it's bringing in. And that this economy can only last about July of 2012. That's when the elections are. If something doesn't turn around and change. I'm telling you, we are not only in the last days, but we're in the last hours. And one of the things that we need to be doing is living like the Lord's going to return any moment. Because the Bible tells us that he's coming back for his bride. And he's coming back for the blemish-free bride. So if there's blood on our hands, you'll miss the taking. He's coming back to take the church off the earth. And he will judge the world. Actually, judgment has already begun because the Bible tells us that judgment has begun in the house of God. That's why you're seeing all kinds of things happen. That's why you're seeing earthquakes increases. You know, when the word tells us about birth pangs. You know, when a woman's getting ready to give birth, she has contractions that start maybe 5-10 minutes apart. Then they get closer and closer, and it gets worse, worse, and worse. We're like, man, get this thing out of here, you know, to where they just want to birth that. And in the beginning of sorrows is like birth pangs, and that's where we are right now. So you're going to see things increase. So the contractions are increasing more and more. So what used to happen once every 10 years went to once every 1 year. Now it's once a week. Again, we've had 755 earthquakes in 7 days in this country. I would call that things that are increasing. All kinds of things are increasing because there's about a birth to happen, and that birth is going to be the return of the Lord. So we cannot lose sight of what's going on. We must live in the area of not only the last days, but that Jesus is going to return for his bride any moment. And are you ready? If he was to return right now, would you make it home? Would you turn to Psalm 9, please, in verse 1? Let's read it together. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Verse 3, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your what? When my enemies turn back, they shall what? Fall and perish at what? Your presence, because evil cannot exist in the presence of God. And this presence is the glory of God that brings judgment and wrath. And verse 4, for you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in what? In righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. For he has prepared his throne for what? Judgments. Remember, judgments always come before the wrath of God. He shall judge the world in what? Righteousness. So how is he going to judge the world? With righteousness. Now, there's a difference between righteousness and good and evil. Good and evil is one tree, and righteousness is the tree of life. Has everybody got it? So many people that they think they're good. Well, I'm a good person. But there's only one that can produce righteousness, and that's relationship with the King of righteousness. So the practicing righteousness, he's going to judge for those who are practicing righteousness, he will reward. Those who are not practicing righteousness, his wrath. So it says, he shall judge the world in righteousness and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. Verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who what? Who seek you. Who seek you. Have you sought him yet today? Did you go to prayer this morning? A seeker is one who puts God first in everything. Amen? He says, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. Amen? Have you prayed this morning? Have you gone to him? Have you made connection? Have you checked in with heaven this morning? Hello? That's associated with practicing righteousness. Amen? So his throne is the throne of righteousness, and he will judge the world by righteousness. Amen? Psalm 96. Psalm 96. In verse 1. Psalm 96, verse 1. What does it say? Oh, sing to the Lord a what? A new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the peoples. So here it is. Both Psalms have started out about singing and praising the Lord. Has everybody got it? Why? Because by singing and praising the Lord, it brings his presence. And without his presence, you and I are nothing. You cannot practice righteousness without the presence of God. It's impossible. Even if you know the word. How can you obey the word without the power and the presence of God? Amen? Verse 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above the gods. For all the gods of the peoples are what? So when he speaks about gods, he speaks about idols. Things that you spend more time doing. Things that you acknowledge more in your life. Can you be your own God? Sure you can. It's an idol, isn't it? Can't self be an idol? Amen. If you put yourself before God, is that an idol? Amen. He says, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Verse 6. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his what? In his sanctuary. His sanctuary is associated with the assembling, the gathering together of his saints. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his what? Into a courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful in all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Wow. In other words, he's going to judge people with his truth, whether they know it or not. Has everybody got it? He's going to whether they know the truth or not is irrelevant. He's going to judge with the truth. So it's our requirement to know the truth and to practice the truth. And it's a requirement for you and I to practice righteousness. Amen? Go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Now you might say, well, what is righteousness? What's the difference between good and righteousness? Righteousness is when you practice the attributes and characteristic of Christ Jesus. When you have the same moral and ethics he does. It's called the fear of the Lord, where all the time you have honor, respect, and reverence to God. And every decision, everything you do, every act, it is called the fear of the Lord. So what you're doing when you're practicing righteousness, you are always looking at what you're getting ready to do or what you're doing. Is it pleasing God? Hello. Now, I'm not saying pleasing God according to the way what you believe. I'm saying pleasing God to what God sees and how he sees it. Amen? That is practicing righteousness. Hebrews chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 8. Oh, hallelujah. Would you read it with me? But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So understand, because he loved righteousness more than anything, he was anointed. And he was anointed with the oil of gladness. So understand something, that so many people, they'll go around and say, well, God's anointed me. Well, let me tell you, God anoints his children, and the anointing stays with an individual who practices righteousness, not with one who doesn't. Has everybody got it? In other words, they love righteousness more than anything because they carry the fear of the Lord, which is reverence, respect, and honor to him. It is priority. Verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool? Whoa. So understand this, that because he loved righteousness, the oil of gladness, the anointing, because loving righteousness is carrying the fear of the Lord. And if you're carrying the fear of the Lord, the anointing is with you. Is everybody with me? Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Everybody okay? Romans 8, starting at verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. And the wind blowing, and the breeze from heaven. Hallelujah. In verse 1, let's read this together. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So is there condemnation? Okay, if you proclaim to be a believer, but you're walking according to the flesh, is there condemnation? Yes. Yes. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. So is condemnation associated with sin and death? Yes. So how do you escape the law of condemnation. You must walk in the what? Spirit and practice righteousness. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, everybody say the righteous requirement, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but what? According to the Spirit. So the righteous requirement is to walk in the Spirit, which attaches us. Now grab hold of this. It attaches me and you to what we call righteous restraints. They are called what? Righteous restraints. These are restraints of righteousness that help me and you from practicing lawlessness. Has everybody got it? They are righteous restraints. And what they do is they restrain me and you from practicing lawlessness. And that requirement is to walk in the Spirit. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So here again, the righteous requirement is to walk in the Spirit, which attaches us with righteous restraints to prevent us from disobedience, rebellion, and practicing wickedness or evil. These are called righteous restraints. They hold me and you back. Go to Hebrews 5. All glory. Hebrews 5. Righteous restraints. Hebrews 5:12. Somewhere around there. Let's see. Yeah, it looks good. Let's read this together. For though by this time you ought to be what? Teachers, examples. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? He is a what? Let me tell you something. Individuals choose to only partake of milk and reject meat. They are called babes. Even though meat is given to them, they still reject it and only want milk. They are called babes because the righteous restraints are cast off. And they become free-willed to deception and disobedience, not maintaining the practice of righteousness. And I'm going to say this again, so you grab hold of this. You can hear all preaching and only take the milk and reject the meat. And he calls an individual that does that immature. There's a difference of a person that's mature and immature. An individual that's mature always wants meat and rejects milk. Are you listening? Because the milk has sustained him now. He cannot live on milk. He must live on meat. Amen? So many have chosen only to partake of the milk and reject the meat. What do you mean? I've accepted. No, because if you're not practicing righteousness, it means you've rejected the meat. And you're still immature. Is everybody with me? Because they've become free-willed to deception and disobedience, not maintaining the practice of righteousness, they are immature. And everything they think that they are mature And that is pride, because they're still not practicing righteousness. Does everybody got it? Yes, I'm mature. I know what's what. No, that's called pride. Why? Because you're not practicing righteousness. Amen? You're acting like a babe. That means that you're rejecting the meat and you're only living on milk. Is everybody okay? And because the restraints of righteousness have been released, they've been taken off. Again, go to verse 13 again. Let's read this. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, immature. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Good and evil. Oh, glory. Hebrews 12. Listen, we are at critical times right now. And there are many, many who are still not practicing righteousness. They are still, they're 30 years in the body of Christ. Still not practicing righteousness, still rejecting meat and only taking milk. Proclaim to be mature, but yet they cannot practice the righteousness. The righteous restraints have been cast off. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Is everybody there? Let's read it. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son which he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who correct us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seem best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of what? Righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So we see here that God chastens us because we have cast off the restraints of righteousness, and so that we can get back on and put those restraints back on. So he chastens us, he rebukes us, he corrects us, he exposes us. He tries to bring, let me share something with you, because this is associated with pride. And God says he rejects the proudful but gives grace to the humble. So when you begin to think yourself above and not stay humble, you begin to practice your own righteousness, which you call self-righteous. And it begins to cast off the restraints of righteousness, which we begin to do things according to the way what we believe, what we feel, and what we see, instead of according looking through the eyes of the Lord. Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? Praise God. Glory. Now, God chastens us. Why? And one of the reasons is because the restraints of righteousness, in other words, there's no more revelation of the righteous fear of God. See, there must be a constant revelation to me and you that God's present, that he sees, he knows, that nothing is hidden from here. There must be a constant revelation, a revealing that he is before us all the time. There must be a constant revelation that his righteousness is what is expected from me and you. Amen? Go to Proverbs 29. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 29. Righteous restraints. And you know, you can see it happening all over the world, can't you? The restraints, the righteous restraints, have been cast off. All over, you can see it. People are doing what they feel like doing, saying what they feel like saying, touching what they feel like touching, doing whatever they feel. You know, Satan's doctrine is do what you feel like. That's his doctrine. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Is everybody there? Read it. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. What restraints are these? The righteous restraints. Amen? But happy is he who what? Keeps the law. How can he keep the law? Because he's maintaining the righteous restraints. Amen? Hosea 4. Hosea 4. And they cast off these righteous restraints because there's no revelation of the righteous fear of God. And they're choosing not to practice the meat that they've gotten. They're only choosing to practice the milk. Hosea 4. Oh, glory. In verse 1, Hosea 4, 1. Let's read this together, please. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. Now, when God is speaking to Israel, is he speaking to me and you too? Amen. Hosea 4, 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy. Wow. Or knowledge of God in the land. Why? Because they've cast off restraints of righteousness. They're not decreeing it. They're not practicing it. They're not declaring it. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break all what? Restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the flesh of the sea will be taken away. Wow. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Now this is powerful. How many of y'all have children? So if you're practicing righteousness, will God forget your children? No. Does everybody understand this? Because this is how iniquities and curses come down the family line. You know, when I was in the world, I remember I used to say, well, man, what I'm doing is not going to hurt nobody else. It's only me. But how many of y'all know that there's a ripple effect of everything you do? It passes on to somebody. And somebody has to do the reaping. So there are multiple people who get affected, not just one person. I was out there doing drugs and everything. I'm thinking, well, man, I'm only hurting myself. No, I wasn't. I was hurting my family, my wife, my children, my parents, my friends. I was hurting everybody around me because they loved me. And here, I knew I wasn't doing the right thing. But I figured, if I wasn't hurting anybody else, it was okay. It's just me I'm hurting. But see, that's not true. That's a deception of the enemy. Every choice you make is a ripple effect. everything. And what you sow is what you reap. Amen? Go to Acts 17. So they break restraints. These restraints are called righteous restraints. Acts 17. So are you practicing meat or milk? Oh, hallelujah. Acts 17. And verse 22. Acts 17, verse 22. Are you learning something? He's coming to judge the earth in righteousness. In righteousness. Acts 17, 22. Then let's read this. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I receive that in all things you are very religious." Everyone say religious. Religious, the word religion means bondage. I see that you're very bondage to the things of rituals. In other words, they had idols and all kinds of stuff. He said, "For I was passing through and considering the objects of your" what? "Your worship," these objects. "I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings." Now, there's something very powerful here, and go to verse 26. It says, "Pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings." These are called spiritual boundaries. Everyone say spiritual boundaries. They are spiritual boundaries of righteousness. And when an individual breaks these spiritual boundaries of righteousness, they trespass into the things that they have no business. Because it appears, what it does is the individual then approves of lawless acts of disobedience. In other words, what you approve of is what you are judged of. Has everybody got it? So you may be practicing righteousness, but then all of a sudden you go beyond the boundaries, the spiritual boundaries of righteousness, and begin to do things according to the way you feel and what you believe. Has everybody got it? And it may have a sense of righteousness to you, but through the eyes of God, they are not righteous. So individuals begin to participate in the area and practice and approve of other individuals that are practicing lawlessness or immaturity, because they're not practicing righteousness. They're practicing things that are not pleasing to God. Has everybody got it? You know, so many times, the Lord has shared with me that when an individual is involved in something, whether I'm to intervene or not intervene, whether I'm to allow the course to run or rescue from whatever the end result is. And there are times when the Lord says, "Step back and let me correct them and chasten them." So in this, you know, the word tells us that we must be careful to not approve of those who are practicing disobedience. Has everybody got that? In fact, the Word tells us to avoid the individual. So sometimes the Lord will tell me, step back and don't interfere. Don't interfere. Because, you know, the Word even says that if you rebuke a fool, they won't receive it. And a fool is someone that's doing their own thing according to the way they want to do it, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. How many of y'all want to gain the trust of God? So do you think that you're going to gain the trust of God by practice unrighteousness? How about staying in a state of immaturity? Amen. Remember, he tests me and you on righteousness. So when it's an opportunity to practice righteousness, that's how he tests us. And so many people going around the same old circle with pride, running from the presence of God and running instead of running to it. How many of y'all know running from God or running from the presence of God or running from the commitments of God always brings judgment? It always brings judgment. And then we've got to go back and wait for the period of time to gain the trust of God. Amen? Is everybody okay? So please, we are in critical times right now. You must be willing to die to yourself and do whatever it takes, because it must be about kingdom business and not your business. And what happens when an individual is not maintaining the revelation of the fear of God and righteous requirements of walking in the Spirit, they cast off restraints of practicing righteousness. And they begin to do their own thing. And what the devil says, well, you can just repent and God will forgive you. Yes, he will forgive you, but you will still reap what you sowed. Reaping always comes, no matter what. You do not get out of reaping. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. So why not just die once and get it over with? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, somewhere around there. Let's see. Oh, okay, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's read it. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Do you know that, you know, so many times it's not about practicing evil, it's about having a form of evil. Amen? In other words, there might be things that may have a sense of a form of evil. You know, in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, we are all brothers and sisters. Amen? Now, would it have a form of evil if a brother went over a sister's house and slept there? Yes, it would have a form of evil. Do you understand that? Well, it's my I'm talking about somebody in the body of Christ. It would have a form of evil. If a sister in the body of Christ went over a brother's house, would it have a form of evil if they slept there? Yes, unless the husband and wife were there. Do you understand that? Has everybody got it? Then it's different, isn't it? Is everybody okay? So that would have a form of evil. In other words, even though the individual is not practicing evil, it may have a sense of ungodliness. That's why we must be careful. Amen? We must be careful. That's why Jesus sent them out two by two as a witness. That way we're accountable. Is everybody okay? So verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who what? Who do evil. The face of the Lord is against those who do what? Amen. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what? What is good. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. In other words, people are going to persecute you. They're going to persecute you. Why? For practicing righteousness. They're going to persecute you. You're going to say, oh, come on. That's not what you meant. You're right. That's not what I meant. But if it had a form of evil, you can't do it. Amen? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2. Righteous restraints. Are you practicing righteous restraints? Glory. In verse 20, what does it say? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. Wow. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But as it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed of her wallowing in the mire. So we see here that in this, he says, many have practiced righteousness, and they've turned away from it, and things got worse. That's why the Bible tells us that when a spirit leaves an individual, it comes back with seven more worse spirits and tries to get the person back into practicing unrighteousness, and things are worse. And the word dog means demonized. So he says it's like a dog who returns to his vomit. Why? Because the demonized individual returns to the things it used to practice. Come on, are you with me? Why? Because the righteous restraints have been removed. No maintaining of revelation of righteousness and the fear of God. Still choosing to live on milk and not meat. First, let's go to Isaiah 59. Are you seeing this all over the world? Amen. Isaiah 59. Oh, hallelujah. Let's start at verse 11. We all growl like bears and mourn sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions have multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we have known them. And transgression and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a what? Breastplate. What's a breastplate cover? The heart. The heart. The heart is the character of your spirit. If your spirit is contaminated, your heart will express it. He has put on the righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. He put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is a part of your full armor, isn't it? Amen. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll close here. Righteous restraints. Don't let the enemy cause you to cast those off. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 6. Now let's start at verse 1. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Everybody there? But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So what's the devil trying to do? Get you to cast off the restraints, especially when he knows that the Lord is getting ready to return. You are sons of light and sons of the day. Is everybody okay? You are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet and the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sakes. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, and uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil or to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Do not quench the Spirit. How are you going to quench the Spirit? By casting off the restraints of righteousness. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of all peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen.